This week, in episode 250 of the RV Podcast, you'll meet our friend Joe Ritano, a computer scientist and a new kind of work camper, who shares with us how commuting to his high-tech North Carolina job in his RV and then staying in it during the week saves him lots of money.
So basically, it's a mobile condo, and it's my own space, and I'm saving a lot of money on any apartment costs or hotel costs.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. It is a trend that we are seeing all across North America. People who are living in their RVs and working in sometimes pretty high-capacity jobs. You'll meet our friend Joe Ritano in this week's episode. And we've got lots more to talk about as we continue our RV lifestyle podcast. Every Wednesday, a new episode. This week, we talk about that new kind of work camper out there. Plus, we also bring you lots of RV news, tips, answers to your questions, and a great off-the-beaten-path report from our friends, the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, here we are again in the midst now of the full force of summer in July now as we get into mid-July. This is a great time to be out in an RV.
We hit the road this week, headed south through Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee, exploring our way across the heartland in our RV as we eventually hit the Nashville area, where we'll meet up with our three grown kids, their spouses, and all eight of our grandkids for a week-long family vacation.
That should be fun. When we do our Sunday night live streams on our RV lifestyle channel on YouTube, probably the question we're asked the most is, are we full-timers? And if not, how much time do we actually spend traveling? And the answer is that we are not full-timers. We are more like three-quarter-timers. We travel every month of the year. But we still have a main sticks and bricks house in Michigan, where this episode is coming from. We've been home for just 2 weeks now since our last trip, and we use that time to catch up on work around the house and the yard. Jennifer kind of has been doing most of that. I have been holed up in our studio and editing and writing and creating content for all of our various platforms, like the blog and the YouTube channel and the podcast and our newsletter and our growing library of RV lifestyle ebooks and guides. So we hit the road, and then we can kind of concentrate on just finding stories and showing what we're doing out there as we travel, because we try and do the content when we touch base back at our sticks and bricks.
And probably the second most asked question is, where is Bo, our 3.5-year-old Norwegian Elkhound? Sometimes I feel like he has more fans than we do.
I think he does.
Bo accompanies us on most of our travels. If you watch our videos on the YouTube RV Lifestyle channel, you'll see he makes a cameo appearance in just about every shot. Yes, he is going to be in Nashville with us. He loves getting together with the family as much as we do.
You know, he does make that cameo appearance, and we don't necessarily plan them.
He just pops in.
He does. He pops in, pops out, and I think he's a camera hog, really. I didn't know a dog could be that way, but I think he is. Hey, it's time in the podcast to give a shout-out to our podcast reviewer of the week, and this week it is Trish Northeast. At least that's the name that she used when she left us a review with iTunes. Wonderful 5-star review. She headlined it, "Don't Leave Home Without It," and Trish writes, "I am hooked on this podcast, no doubt about it. Listen to Mike and Jennifer as I walk my laps around the outdoor high school track and enjoy every minute of it. I've learned so much with so many guests and shared experiences. Thank you both. We're buying our first RV this summer and can't wait to get there. Keep doing all you do, Mike and Jen." Well, thank you, Trish. We so appreciate those kind words and your review. Isn't it interesting? She doesn't even have an RV.
Well, half the fun is planning and dreaming.
I think there's a lot of people that listen to the show that don't have an RV, and that's really exciting. Anyway, we invite you to, dear listener, to do the same thing as Trish, and that's to please leave us a review and a ratings on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you happen to listen to us on. We so appreciate the feedback. We read everyone, and those reviews, of course, help gets the podcast more noticed. And if you haven't subscribed, whatever the podcast app that you use, please do so, and then you'll have it automatically in your podcast queue every Wednesday morning when we upload new episodes.
Those reviews are really nice to read. They really encourage us and help us stay motivated.
And they're helpful. A while back, we had some critical ones about too many commercials in the podcast. And people were really nice in saying that. They said they loved the podcast, but they thought that there were too many commercials. And you know what? They were right. There were. At one point, we had six of them. And it happened, you know, as the podcast grew and picked up popularity, we had all sorts of people, we still do, wanting to tap into the audience. But we have heard what people said, and we have intentionally cut the number of sponsors in half. We just have three right now, and we will not add any unless we go to a two-hour podcast or something, which I don't think we can do that. We try and keep the number of sponsors down, so it's not just one long commercial. And we heard you, and I hope people have noticed that. We've also been very intentional about those we interview now in the podcast. Many of the interview subjects have, in the last couple of months, have come from your comments and suggestions. We love, and we invite you to send us those. If you have somebody you think would make a great interview, even if it's you, let us know. We are going to start a series next week that I'm kind of calling the RV Couples, where we're going to talk to some of your favorite RV couples who do what Jennifer and I do, and we know many of them, and some we're meeting for the first time as we interview them, and that will be kind of fun.
You might have a new couple every week for the rest of the year.
I can't believe how many there are showing up. Every time we turn around, we meet a new RV YouTube couple. We were like the only ones out there on YouTube when we started. Maybe there are a couple others out there, but this is pretty funny. Anyway, all this is to say that we really do value your feedback and your suggestions. Please keep them coming. You can reach us anytime, Mike and Jen at rvlifestyle.com, or go to the rvlifestyle.com blog. There is a place on the right-hand part of that that has a phone number, and that's like a little voicemail that you can leave us. And we love getting your suggestions, your feedback, your comments, and your questions.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Lightning injured several people enjoying outside activities in at least two different parts of the country on July 4th. In two incidents, lightning hit a tree, and the people who were standing nearby were either killed or seriously injured by the electrical field created by the hit. One incident happened in a state park in Maryland, and the other in South Carolina. Last year, we interviewed a lightning expert who described how campers and hikers are two of the most at-risk groups for lightning strikes, and he provided tips on how to stay safe when lightning is in your area. We'll put a link to that on the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/250.
We love to boondock, and one of the best places to do it is on federally owned Bureau of Land Management properties near, many of them near national parks or out west. We find the landscape out there is beautiful. There's little to no people around, and of course it's free if you're camping on BLM land. But as off-the-grid camping has become so popular, problems are arising, and the BLM will likely start getting more now involved in managing some of those areas. There was a story out last week that highlighted issues of boondockers killing rare wildflowers, driving over and uprooting them, and leaving behind human waste improperly disposed near Moab in Utah. So just clean up when you're out there. We don't need any more regulation about our unregulated federal land. Let's try and keep it a beautiful, pristine area that we can all boondock on. We'll put a link to that story in the show notes. And again, the show notes are just the episode number, and that's rvlifestyle.com/250.
Indiana Dunes National Park on the shores of Lake Michigan is seeing an increase in visitors this season as more people come to see America's newest national park. The park became the nation's 61st national park earlier this year. And while we have written about it before, wanted to share this story because it does a great job of describing what is there. We'll link to the story in the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/250. And if you haven't yet visited the dunes, put it on your bucket list.
Sometimes when Jen and I are traveling across the country, we run into a spot with such an unusual name that you know that there is a story there. But sometimes that story has been lost. So that's the way it was when we were out in Utah earlier this year and we visited Dead Horse State Park. We'll put a link to that that report in the show notes as well. It is an incredibly beautiful park. Some say it's one of the most beautiful state parks in all of America. And the story that we found that we're going to link to now in the show notes explores three different legends on how that park received its most unusual name of Dead Horse State Park. So if you like reading history and you love the West, check that out. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Anyone who enjoys the outdoors can probably relate to hearing a sound out in the middle of nowhere and letting your imagination get the best of you. Apparently, that is what happened to a man and woman hiking after dark in a park in Texas. When the couple thought they heard the grunting of a feral pig, the couple, in a panic, climbed a tree, called 911, and when officers arrived, the couple learned the grunting feral pig they feared was actually cars passing on rumble strips on a road just outside their view.
Now, I'm not going to laugh at them because Do you remember when we go, we have a place that we love to take a winter hike up by the Mackinac Bridge in St. Ignace, and we'll take Bo usually at night, and we walk, and it gets pretty remote. Even though we're near the Mackinac Bridge and there's traffic on I-75, you know, a mile or so away, but we heard this noise, this really weird rumble noise, and it just didn't make sense. Well, it was the same thing. Cars on a rumble strip, you know, where the strips were there to have them slow down as they approached the bridge, and the night air was just such that it would carry over, and I thought it was some wild animal over there. And so, you know, you got to be careful. I'm glad we didn't call. A couple other quick stories, just little short mentions here. We'll put links to them in the show notes that you want to check. Yellowstone, everybody's going out there. Steamboat Geyser is on a track to set record eruptions this year. It normally doesn't erupt very often, and it's done so numerous times so far this year. Started picking up mid last year, and you know, they're all saying it's because of the increased geological activity, you know, and the earthquakes that we've seen in California over the recent weeks. But Steamboat Geyser in Yellowstone, it's very active. The dry summer, it was all wet just a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about how wet everything was. Well, now it's the option, it's the opposite. Several national parks are battling really dry summer conditions. Wildfires ravaged the West in national parks last year and the year before, really. So they're worried about the same thing this year. It's been very dry just over the last couple of weeks. So if you're out there, please be careful. And I'm going to put a link to a story. This is a big time when everybody's buying RVs, and a lot of people like to buy used RVs. If you use Craigslist, be really careful. There are so many scams involving RVs on Craigslist. There was a report out of South Carolina last week that has some tips that I want to pass along on how not to be scammed. Be very skeptical when you buy anything off Craigslist, but read that link if you're thinking about shopping for one that way. All right, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. Rad Power Bikes is an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful and premium electric bikes. Now with free shipping, Red Power Bikes has been with us now as a sponsor for several years, and we are very happy to recommend them. We both, Jennifer and I, both have a Rad Power bike. We have the city bike model. Mine's kind of like a little beach cruiser. Hers is the step-through model. That's just part of a number of different e-bike models that Rad Power Bikes makes that meet a wide variety of rider wants and needs. All of them can go 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. They have fat tire versions. They have mountain bike versions. They have foldable versions. All of them give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, or you can use five different levels of pedal assist to give you a little added boost. It's perfect for people who want to get back into riding. RVers are loving e-bikes. They're just so much fun. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And Rad Power Bikes are priced at often less than half that of comparable bikes on the market because they deal directly with the consumer. Here's two things that you need to know about Rad Power Bikes. Besides just incredibly high quality, they also send the bikes to you free. Free shipping on all their bike models. So if you use the coupon code RVLifestyle, they will even give you an additional $75 off. So check them out. RadPowerBikes.com.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast. Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, a question came in by YouTube from one of our viewers on our YouTube channel, our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. It says, loved your videos on YouTube. We're going to add your Adirondack trips to our bucket list. Can you please tell us the device and the app that you use that monitors the temperature of your RV for Bow? We're purchasing an RV, and we need to monitor the temp for our two fur babies. Thank you. She's talking about a video that we did last fall, and I will put links to this in the show notes. Now, when I say that, it means you got to go to the RV Lifestyle blog, which is rvlifestyle.com, and look for this episode, which is 250. And then the show notes are kind of like an outline. So I'll put links to this. We did this story. Do you remember, Jen? It was last, I think it aired last fall, and it's we've tried a number of different ways to keep track of the heat inside, and we finally found one. But it's costly. We've tried a whole bunch of different ones, but this one is called the RV Pet Safety Temperature Monitor. And they saw our video, and they offered to give our viewers, make us an affiliate, and they'll give you a discount on it, so you can get a discount. But let me tell you, what this thing does is it uses cell phone service that will notify you by text or email if the internal temperature of your RV starts to get dangerously high, and you can set that for whatever alert that you want. Now, we've tried other versions. We tried a Bluetooth model. We've tried a couple of inexpensive versions out there. This is the one we finally settled on, and it's expensive. It has battery backup. We actually run it. We run our inverter, and we plug it into 110 in the RV, and then it works with the cell phone. So you have to have a cell phone package for it, but it gives you peace of mind. And here's the pricing. It's a bit tricky, but bear with me, because the device is one price, but then you need ongoing support for the internet. So you can pay that monthly or yearly. And we have a pretty good discount on these for you as well. So the actual price for the device is $249. If you want it to pay as you go, then they will charge you $15 a month for the internet access. If you pay in advance for a year, it's $369. And they give you, it's $249 for the device and then $120 for the subscription, but they have discount codes for RV Lifestyle listeners. So they'll save you You can buy the device instead of $250, they'll sell it to you for $199. So, and then they will give you a little discount on all the costs of buying the thing. So the discount codes for the monthly subscription is RVL S50. And for the yearly subscription is RVL S70. Now, I know I don't expect you to write all these things down because I said it was tricky, remember? Just go to the show notes and you can find out all this stuff. You can go to them. That's rvpetsafety.com. Yeah, but to get the discounts, you got to have those codes. And I'm going to just list the code on our RV Lifestyle show notes for this. So go to rvlifestyle.com/250 and you can scroll down. Now, we did a video that shows this thing in action, and I'll link to it in the show notes. It's a video that shows a bunch of products we use with Bo, and this part is towards the end, and you see how it works. So again, you can find that video in the show notes as well. It's very confusing to give everybody all these facts and statistics about it, but that's the best one I think we've seen.
Yeah, that worked best for us.
Yep, and it uses a cell phone signal, and you got to have a $15 a month subscription to have it work. All right. Hey, do you have a question you'd like us to answer, or do you have a comment on the things we're discussing? Well, if so, we invite you to do that by leaving us a special voicemail. And you can do that by calling 586-372-6990. That's 586-372-6990. If you're driving and you can't write it down, just go to the RV Lifestyle travel blog, rvlifestyle.com. Scroll down on the right-hand side. You'll see the number prominently posted, and you can just call it up and leave a message just like any other voicemail message. All right, this part of the podcast brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. Battle Born, their motto is get out there and stay out there. And that's their mission, to provide RV and marine batteries made with the highest quality lithium ion phosphate technology at the fairest price on the market that'll let you have sustained adventures off the grid with batteries that offer better performance. They charge faster, they charge fuller, they're longer lasting, they're maintenance free. They have a team of battery experts. They know how most of the existing components in your RV, whether it's a Class A, a Class C, a B, a camper van, a trailer, a towable, whatever it is, they are experts in all of them. No matter how old it is, they have three different 12-volt lithium deep cycle models. They can set you up. They can tell you how this will work, matching your lithium power system with the right cabling and the inverter. It's a lot more complicated than just putting a couple batteries in, but these batteries that they have, like the ones we have, they were just drop-in. They fit in the same spot as our AGM batteries that we were using in our RV. We upgraded the inverter and a couple of other things. But you call them up and tell them about your system, and that's the way to do it. And then you can get a price on them. Battle Born are probably the best reviewed lithium battery out there in terms of an aftermarket product for RVers. We've been very happy with ours. We put ours in a few months ago, and they do great. Here's how you get to them. You just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium. So there you go. All right. We told you at the top of the podcast you're going to meet a friend of ours named Joe Ritano, and Joe's a good buddy.
He is a good friend. I miss not seeing Joe.
Yep. Well, you get to listen to him in a minute.
And his wife, Joanne.
Yep. Joe is a computer scientist. He specializes in artificial intelligence, and he specializes in it in terms of vehicles and adapting artificial computer intelligence to RVs, both for consumers and for manufacturers. And he's doing some really cool cutting-edge research on it. Probably one of the top experts in the country on AI, as they call artificial intelligence. So he's a computer scientist, and he is a work camper. Now, I know a lot of you have thought that work campers are people who, you know, volunteer in campgrounds and maybe clean out the bathrooms and the fire pits and tell people which way to go for water and where the dump is and all that stuff. And And that's one way of work camping, and a lot of people do that in exchange for a place to stay. But Joe is typical of a whole bunch of work campers that are showing up across North America who have pretty high-end jobs but have opted to live in their RV, either commuting to the job and living in it or just getting an RV and putting it in an RV park. There's a lot of reasons to do that. One, they may have a home away from their work site, and it's just a lot easier than getting an apartment, and that was the case with Joe. But it's a trend that is growing out there, and it's a way to chase the jobs, because some high-end jobs are hard and far and few apart. So you might want to listen to this. It's an interesting story. So besides being our friend, he's got a pretty good tale to tell. I think you'll enjoy meeting Joe Rattano, a new kind of work camper. Well, driving around right now in his RV is our friend Joe Rattano. Joe, how are you?
Great, Mike. How are you?
I am doing great. You're out on the road. I can hear the road noise behind you. So it's kind of fun to help you break the monotony of the road as you share all about being this new kind of work camper. I mentioned earlier in the podcast about how many people are living in RVs and working in places like Silicon Valley and in the high-tech regions of San Francisco and California. But it's kind of a trend across the country. It's not, work camping is not, as we said, a job where people are cleaning out fire pits or doing temporary work at Amazon. Joe, why don't you tell everybody what you do and where you're working, and then we'll get into the questions and how the how your van, your RV, plays into all of that.
Okay. So I'm a computer scientist. I'm currently working on my PhD from the University of Tennessee. I've completed all my classroom and residency requirements, and I'm really in dissertation research mode. And I was recruited to Duke Energy, and they have a new innovation center, and they're doing some research in my area that I'm currently working on. So my home is currently in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I travel back and forth to Charlotte, North Carolina, to Duke Energy's innovation center, which is really their new crown jewel of innovation for their power grid and different applications thereof.
Now, you are living in your van for most of the time then, during the week, right?
That's right. I'm using the van to travel and get there. And there's an RV park about 4 miles away, and it's perfect, especially in the hot summer months. I can park there and plug in and run the AC. So right now during the summer, that's perfect.
Tell us a little bit about your RV. What are you in? And you've actually done some work on that as well. So tell us how you've made it your own and how it works out as your home away from home when you're work camping.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, so I've got a 2017 CS Adventures 5 Road Truck, and the vehicle's worked out really well. I've made a number of different modifications, the four-wheel drive model. I've worked on the bedding system and used the Axle Bloom adjustable bed system, and I just actually finished out putting cushions in the middle and making it a sort of a California King. So I got a nice full-size bed in there. So basically it's a mobile condo, and it's my own space, and I'm saving a lot of money on any apartment costs or hotel costs. So that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I like that phrase, it's your mobile condo. Tell us how it works in terms of, you said that this RV park is 4 miles from the research center where you are doing your work. So you go back to the RV park at night. What, is that just, how do you spend your nights, your days, and how does the RV enhance all of this for you?
Well, I start my work day just like anybody else, real early in the morning, and I love coming out to my van for lunch. You know, they have food trucks there right now, and I'm thinking as everyone's lining up for the food truck at lunch, I walk over to the van, open it up, and I cook a really nice dinner, or I make myself a shake real quick, and I'm on my way in minutes. versus waiting 20 minutes for something at, you know, a line on a food truck. But and I don't have to go anywhere, you know, and I know when I'm, you know, I go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods and I fill out my refrigerator with really good food, and I eat well. So I'm on this, like, diet kick as well, much like you are. And so I'm trying to lose some weight as well. So I'm really watching what I eat. And having the band right there helps me not make bad choices. So, and then, you know, after work, I'll exercise a bit, and then I'll shower up, and then I'll drive back to the RV park, plug in. Because it's a little hot in North Carolina right now, so it's going to get worse. But, you know, I plug in because you know, the batteries won't last all night, and so I don't want the engine to run. At first, when I got here, I parked. I didn't know where to stay, so I just pulled in at work, basically, and I was boondocking at work for the first week. But the train that was going by at work was just too loud every 15 minutes or so. So I knew I needed to find a better place to stay, and the opening popped up at the RV park, and boom, and it was easy breezy.
Now, in most cases, the people we hear doing this are millennials, young people. You're not, you've had a pretty busy career in the Navy. I know that, the U.S. Navy. And then in the tech industry, and so I'm trying to tactfully say you're not a kid, you're not a millennial. Otherwise, you would be living in that thing full time. But what would have been the option if you didn't have that RV?
So some of the guys that I'm working with that are on my team are from Atlanta and Wilmington, North Carolina, and they drive in on the weekends. And they have an apartment, or they stay in a hotel and expense it. So they're driving in, but they're staying in another place, and they're deciding on whether they're going to buy something or something like that. So if they really like the job, maybe they will, and they'll move the family here. But you know, with the Class B RV, you know, if it doesn't work out or a new opportunity pops that's even better than this one, I can move very quickly. Just unplug and I'm gone.
And in this case,
go ahead.
I was going to say, in this case, your family, you don't have to disrupt your family. They don't have to pick up stakes and move to a different state. You're pretty well settled in your house. I know you have two kids in college. This RV has become a really a godsend to you in this case.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, we have a beautiful house that we built in Virginia Beach, and we just love it, and we don't want to move. And the reason why I picked up or chose this position was it's so directly aligned with my dissertation research, and I didn't want to pass it up. So it was a great opportunity for me, but, you know, I didn't want to disrupt the family and move everybody to do this. So, the RV gives me the opportunity to make a decision very quickly to take advantage of those options that are laid up before me. And you know, I didn't have to disrupt Joanne and the kids. You know, the kids are in college too, they wouldn't be disrupted that much, but they're home for the summer right now. We've got pets, and you know, and like I said, you know, after 25 years in the Navy, you know, we built that home, and that's, you know, we made it our own, and we love it. We love the location. We've got a lot of friends now there, and you know, and we don't want to just up and leave, you know. So we like our surroundings, we love that, but this van allows us to be a little bit more adventurous. Like the last thing, Joanne loves to come visit me when I'm traveling. Like, in about 3 weeks from now, we're going to go head out to Asheville. She's going to fly into Charlotte, and I'll pick her up, and we'll go to Asheville for the weekend, and then she'll fly back. And, you know, it's easy that way. So when I'm working different places, she'll come up and fly and meet with me, and we'll tour the town basically, or the outlying area. So we fit little mini vacations in along with this type of lifestyle.
So
we don't know how long this is going to last, but the key is we can pick up and move and change and do what we need to do because, you know, we're completely mobile.
And for professionals, for computer scientists, for highly trained folks who used to think that they were stuck in one community, there are now so many opportunities out there in this booming economy that having an RV makes a lot of sense. So you don't have to, as you say, disrupt your routes. You can go take your routes. You can take that job. You can experiment, find out what you like. Do you see this as a long-term solution for yourself? Having this, and your van is more than just a van. I think we need to explain your mobile lab part of it too. You've also done a lot of research with this van in computer science, right?
Oh, right. Well, yeah. If people search back and they see the trip to Puerto Rico, providing communications to FEMA, and how that worked out really well, then you know they know that this van is a a very tricked out computer scientist's dream, basically. I have a whole communication stack, and then I'm measuring the power system really well, and understanding the power flow of the system. And I'm collecting data on it. As a matter of fact, it's my dissertation platform. So
we should explain this thing in Puerto Rico that you just brought up, because when one of the hurricanes went through Puerto Rico a couple of years ago, devastated it. Your mobile lab was picked up, transported to Puerto Rico, and you actually helped provide communications in the wake of that devastating hurricane. So I want to give you a shout out for that a little more than just in passing. It was a pretty cool thing. And that's the van that you're living in right now.
Oh, yeah. I love doing that. That was a great opportunity to go ahead and do that and help out a lot of folks. And I enjoy doing that kind of stuff, and I'd like to do more. And, I've talked, the folks at Duke Energy really love this van because it's basically a mobile microgrid. I've got the solar, it's got batteries, lithium ions. It's got the solar controllers, battery management system, and it's got power generation with the underhood generator. So it's a little microgrid, and you should see the electrical engineers just climbing all over this van at Duke Energy. They love it. And so, my boss there has even said, hey, we might want to use this for, any assistance for the power company if they get hit with another hurricane. So, you could see me again, creating communications and helping out with hot down power lines or things like that. But, most likely I'll be just using this for research as a part of what I'm doing there at the Innovation
Center. And your mobile condo. I really like that description. So Joe Ritano.
So it's a twofer, right? So it's my mobile lab and it's my mobile condo, right?
You are a new kind of work camper. And before I let you go, just your thoughts. You've been close enough now to the RV industry and the whole RV lifestyle. Do you see this as a trend that more people will be embracing?
Oh, for sure. The sales, the Class B sales just keep going up, right? So, and the van life, van life, you see people just buying used vans and starting to turn them into some type of camping vehicle. And, you see some really creative ideas, and people are just getting more and more creative, and it's really taken the country by storm. So Class B RVs are sort of the luxury, van life equivalent. And I love it. I mean, I love every aspect of it. It's my hobby as well. It's not only my research. It's what I do to live in and work out of. But it's my hobby too. When I have a spare moment, I'm adding a new antenna or I'm doing something new just to create it. And I watch you all the time with new gadgets, and I'm like, oh, I got to try that. So. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Well, I look forward to seeing you and Joanne down the road. Give her our best. And thanks for sharing with our audience a little bit about having a mobile condo. I kind of like that. Joe Ritano, a new kind of work camper. Thank you, Joe, for being on the podcast.
Always good to hear
from you.
Always good to hear from Joe. He was driving, so there was a lot of noise in that as we talked to him. But he was actually heading back to Virginia from Charlotte, where he was based in his RV, and he was spending some time with his wife and family in Virginia Beach.
And I hope someday that we can stop by and visit him at his home.
Yeah, well, who knows where he'll be? He can take his job anywhere. We'll just look for the mobile van. All right, there'll be a transcript of that interview on the show notes, as well as a photo at the RVLifestyle.com blog, and you can find a photo of Joe and his van right there with the interview. And the interview of the week is brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com, where every motor home that they sell, every new motor home, is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. They sell all the new motor homes that you would possibly want, from brands like Winnebago, the Winnebago Travato, the Winnebago Era, Coachman, the Galleria, the Beyond, American Patriot brand, the Fleetwood, IROC, and more. They have a lot of brand new RVs out there in their lot. But if you're looking for a used RV, you really want to pay attention, because Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida, has the largest inventory of used small motor homes that you'll find anywhere in North America. They have a huge used inventory in stock, previously owned RVs from the most popular brands like Pleasure Way and Winnebago and Leisure Travel, Coachman, Road Trek, and more. I am convinced you will not find a wider selection of used small motorhomes anywhere else in North America. Every RV that Sunshine State RVs have goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure all the mechanical and the manual systems work. They go over the interior, the outside. Every component is turned on. The vehicles are road tested. They make sure it works. All the used RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks. Now, you can go to sunny Gainesville, Florida, and look on the lot, or the best way before you go anywhere is to start online. Just check them out. Sunshine State RVs, all one word, sunshinestaterVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
Up to the state of Minnesota for today's Off the Beaten Path report from our friends Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. We were making a swing through the upper Midwest, visiting with friends and family and taking in the wild rice harvest and looking for Lake Wobegon. A Minneapolis friend invited us to park in his driveway for a few days while we explored the city and suggested we start with Minnehaha Falls. A generation ago, this would not have been an off-the-beaten-path destination, but as we've mentioned it to friends and traveling acquaintances, it seems to have fallen off the tourist radar. On a sunny summer day, it's a pretty spectacular sight, set in the middle of a city park right next to a walk-up seafood pavilion. What makes it really interesting, though, is one particular day in June of 1964. President Lyndon B. Johnson was coming to visit that day, and a shortage of rainfall had reduced the flow to a trickle. Not to be shorted in their big moment, the park board ordered hundreds of water hydrants to be opened upstream of the falls to create a respectable flow. It worked. You can see a photo online or at the site.
Minneapolis sits on the Mississippi River at St. Anthony Falls, the northern limit for navigation on the Great River. Through the 20th century, it was the transportation hub for agricultural produce from the northern Great Plains, especially grain. You won't be surprised to see massive grain elevators, though many of them are being replaced with loft apartments these days. Among the storage towers were several big mills where flour was produced. One of these is now the Minneapolis Milling Museum. One of our favorite experiences at the museum was the elevator ride, which moves from floor to floor. At each stop, a scene is revealed from the factory, the milling floor, the shipping dock, the office, and animatronic figures talk about their day at the mill. The demonstration kitchen and observation deck are also not to be missed.
We were happy to discover these sites as we poked around the city and visited with our friends who live there. But my list had only one thing on it from Minneapolis, and that was the Juicy Lucy. Was it invented at the 5-8 Club or at Matt's Bar? Devotees will argue you up and down the street about that, but who really cares? We met some friends at Matt's and settled in for the experience. Sorry we're running a bit behind, our waitress said. Here's some fries for you while you wait. She dropped a heaping basket of steaming fries on the table. 30 minutes later, we were looking at the real deal, a hamburger with cheese inside. That's the way they do it in Minneapolis. The meat is wrapped around a big hunk of cheddar cheese. When you bite into it, the cheese oozes out. You've never had anything like it.
We'll give you three more things to search out if you're in Minneapolis. Along a downtown sidewalk is a stainless steel wave called the Sidewalk Harp. If you pass your hand beneath it as you walk by, it plays music. The Guthrie Theater is just down the street from the Milling Museum. Ride the elevator to the 9th floor and you can take in some spectacular views of the city and the river. There's a special surprise there we'll let you discover for yourselves. And just a bit north of downtown is Psycho Susie's Motor Lounge, a vintage tiki bar and restaurant where you can sip a tropical cocktail from an Easter Island head.
Big cities can be annoying, and we often pass them by. But as we've discovered on recent visits to St. Louis, Atlanta, and Minneapolis, there are treasures there too, hidden among the overpasses and traffic tie-ups that make the effort worthwhile. So we'll keep visiting the occasional major metropolis and looking for the things that we know are there, little nuggets of pleasure scattered just off the beaten path.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast. We will be back next week and every Wednesday with a new episode. We invite you to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever your favorite app is. And, of course, don't forget our travel blog, RVLifestyle.com. We're off on the road this week, but we will be on the podcast next Wednesday, and we'll continue our interview series now as we start meeting the RV couples, and you'll meet our friends Joe and Kate Russo. We'll talk to them about a life on the road, so that'll be kind of fun.
It will be.
It will, and we are so happy that you joined us this week. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the podcast. Don't forget our YouTube RV Lifestyle channel. We're going to show you three really fun, free places that we've overnighted in the last couple of weeks. All of them were Harvest Host locations and all very, very different and a lot of fun. So we will have that for you this Thursday.
Happy trails.
Bye-bye.